Okay, so we're starting off a new topic this week, and it's called God Wants to Perform It. Okay, God wants to perform it. He wants to do it, right? Whatever the thing is we need, he wants to perform it. So this specific one is called What Do You See? God wants to perform it, but what do you see? So Jeremiah 1 verse 11 says this, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." So God asks Jeremiah this question, and he says to him, what do you see? And then he says, I really do want to do it. I want to perform it. But first I need to know, Jeremiah, can you see it? Can you see the thing I want to do in your life? Can we really see God's promises, and do we really know that they are for us, that they're ours to claim today? What do we see when we look at our life? Do we see what God sees? You know, when you look in the mirror, do you see a man of God? Do you see a woman of God? Or are you thinking of yourself less than that? I'm going to just encourage you today. God used the donkey. I qualify. You qualify. Okay, he can use whoever he wants to use. What do we see when we look at our future? Do we see good things, or are we not quite sure about it? What do we see when we look at God? Do we see a loving Heavenly Father or a judge? I remember years ago someone saying to me, Sandra, you think God's up in heaven with a big stick ready to hit you on the head with it when you do something wrong. And I thought, yep, that's how I see God. I don't see God like that anymore. I have a revelation of his love. I have a revelation of his grace. It's taken me years to get here, but God is not going to beat me up if I get something wrong. He's going to pick me up, dust me off, and set me off toddling again, just like you do with your baby. No, you pick them up and you set them off again. What do we see when we look in the mirror? Do we see someone that God loves, or are we not quite sure about that? They might love someone who's on a microphone because they must be more important, but he doesn't love me. What do we see when we look at the doctor's report? Do we see the sickness, or do we see the potential for God to heal? What is it that we see? Because what we see is very important. What we see is the difference between success and failure. We need to be able to see what God sees in our situation, not what other people see, not what someone else has told us. Folks, we need to be able to see that God is for us. We've been singing it this morning. God is for us. He goes before us and behind us, and he stands beside us, and he's within us. And we need to be able to see that. Luke 18 and verse 27. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Isn't that just a wee Bobby Dazzler of a scripture? If you don't go home with anything else, go home with that one, that it might be impossible as far as the doctor's concerned. It might be impossible as far as your bank balance is concerned, but with God, it's perfectly possible. All things are possible with him. Often we look at the situation and all we see is the impossible. But I want us to note this. Just because someone may have told us it's impossible, it doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean they're right. We thank God for the doctors, but they're not always right. Just because you've been told that, it doesn't mean it's right. So here's my first revelation today. We serve the God of the impossible, but we need to see it. We need to be able to see that. We need to be able to see him taking our impossible situation and making it possible. Let's go back to the first scripture. It's Jeremiah 1:12, where God says, I am watching over my word to perform it. God wants to perform things because that's his will for us. Now, I felt I had a word of knowledge for someone today, either here or listening to this later on, and you've been asking God a question. You've been saying to God about a situation, is it your will, God? Is it your will? Is this your will? Is this your will? And I feel the word of knowledge I have for you today is God is saying, yes, your heart's desire is my heart's desire. God wants us to know that when he places a desire in our heart, he wants to perform it. You know, when Neil was growing up, he had this set of encyclopedias, just like we did over here. You know, if you were good parents, you bought your kids a big set of encyclopedias. So we had several, you know. They ended up with dart holes in them because my brother, we had the dart board in front of them, and every time they missed it, hit the encyclopedias. But anyway, they were good at the time. And I can remember when we were first married and Neil was over here, I took him up to John O'Groats because I thought, he needs to see Scotland. So we went all the way up to John O'Groats. And we're standing at John O'Groats. Before it was kind of a bit more developed now. Just this one hotel, a white, painted white with black ruins and black downpipes and drain pipes. You know, your usual black and white kind of feature. Mostly white with some black details. And we're looking at this hotel. And Neil says to me, see that hotel there? You'd never been in Scotland before. Never been in. See that hotel there? And when I was about 12, my mum and dad had these encyclopedias. And there was a picture of that hotel in the encyclopedia. And he thought, you know, maybe, wow, imagine going there one day. Yeah, one day. When I was about 21, coming home from uni, and the first thing he did was give your mum the dirty washing. Second thing he did was open the Dunfermline Press. And you went straight to the wedding page because you wanted to see if anyone you'd been at school with was getting married. Oh, I know that bride. I know that groom. And there is this picture of a bride and groom that I didn't know, but it said that she was from Rosyth, local girl. He was from Queensland, Australia. And I remember thinking, wow, how romantic, marrying someone from Queensland, Australia. Clearly, I've never met an Aussie yet, but I thought they might be romantic. God gives you the desires of your heart. In fact, God puts them in there. So, yes, He wants to do it for you. Yes, He wants to give you that good thing. Yes, He not only wants to put the icing on your cake, He wants to put the cherry on top of the icing on your cake, because He is a good, good Father. It's His will to perform good things. We don't have to beg God. He longs to do it. But God performs His will when we are able to see His will. We're able to picture it. We're able to believe for it. When God created the world, He had to see it first. If all He saw was the blackness and then just thought, well, let it stay blackness, it would be a pretty miserable place. Well, I wonder what He thought of when He created the first giraffe. He thought, well, I've got a rabbit. I'm going to make this one a wee bit different. He had to see it in His mind. God's got an amazing imagination, and He blessed us with the same thing. And so he had to see the giraffe before He performed it. What about a fly? Have you ever, before you kill it, have you ever looked at the detail on that fly? Sometimes you can swat it, and it's still actually in one piece, and you can have a good look. You've all seen the magnified picture of a fly's eye. And it's got about 100 eyes, hasn't it? And have you ever seen their wings? They're like that petrol blue mixture, and they're just jam-packed details. It looks nothing like a giraffe. God didn't get them mixed up, you know? If giraffes could fly, we'd be in trouble. So He made them so different, but you had to see it first. We create in our minds all the time. You cannot drive home today without creating it in your mind, whether your sat-nav works or not, Faye. You really need to be able to picture it in your head. You're on the way home, and you know exactly where you're going. We create mental pictures all the time. We see the street we're going to go down. We know the traffic lights. We know where we've got to turn. We know what shops will pass until we come into our street, and we can picture our garden. Okay, and we know which we pull up in the right driveway. If someone asks us for direction, the first thing we do is we create a mental image of the whole route. You know, if you were to say to me, how do I get to the football stadium from here? I say, right, like even without having to draw it or write it down, I say, right, you go out of here, you go to the end of the building, keep going straight ahead till you come to that main road, then I'm picturing the main road. You turn right, you go along, there'll be a mini roundabout. When you come to that mini roundabout, you need to take the left-hand fork. Then you come to another roundabout. At that roundabout, you turn right. You'll pass a wee row of shops that's got a co-op, a nail shop where you get your nails done, not where you buy a hammer and a nail, you know. Then you'll pass a high school and you go to the end of that street and there's a set of traffic lights. You need to turn left and keep going till you hit the football stadium. I pictured all that in my mind. You can't do it without using your imagination. We can't survive without seeing things. You know, whether it's in our mind's eye, whether it's what we see in our heart on the inside, we need to picture it. We don't realize it, but we're doing it all the time. God has given us creative power, and he needs us to use it. I want to rephrase that. This is something to go home with, okay? I want to rephrase what I've just said. Almighty God needs you to create in your mind, and then he can create it in your life. If you get up every morning and think, I'm useless, I can't do this job, nothing's ever going to change, I don't have enough money to pay the bills, then guess what? That's what your future is. But if you can get up in the morning and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I can get this done today, whatever the meeting is I'm not looking forward to, I can do this meeting and I can get through this season of my life that we talked about last week. But you need to be able to see it. You need to be able to see yourself doing it and not look at the negatives, not look at the circumstances. But only then can God create that in my life. Only then will I enter into that day with God's peace and a sense of his presence. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's what the Bible says. Even yesterday, being honest with you, Neil and I got up, the sun was shining. We knew that we had a map jam-packed full of streets that all needed to be delivered. Now, I did not feel able to do that at 8:30 in the morning. I thought, here we go again. I picked myself up. I saw the leaflets getting delivered, I saw the sun shining out the door, and I thought, we can do this, let's just go and get it done. McDonald's, here we come. So off we went, and we got it done, and before we knew it, it was all complete, and we felt absolutely fantastic. If we can't see the good things in our day, if we can't see what God's got planned for us, all the good things, then we'll just be focusing on the negatives, and we'll be miserable. This isn't some far-fetched notion. It is how God operates. He needs to see it, and we need to see it, especially who we are in God. It's how we should operate too. We need to see things first, picture them on the inside. We need to look at the promises in God's word and see them taking place in our lives. So here's my first question today. Can you see God's word taking place in your life? Can you see yourself being a conqueror? Can you see yourself being able to do it even if you have to do it afraid? Can you picture his promises being performed for you? Now, the original scripture that we read back to Jeremiah 1:11, it also mentioned an almond tree, which was a funny thing to say. You know, that original scripture said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said, that's good, you've seen well. I'm watching over my word to perform it. So why did God use an almond branch? Why did he not put in there a computer, you know, or a mobile phone or something a bit more high tech that maybe Jeremiah could believe for? So he met Jeremiah where he was at, and he put an example in there of something Jeremiah could understand. And this is what it means. So Jeremiah said, well, I see the almond branch. Now, it wasn't a real tree in front of him. God gave him a vision. He had a picture of an almond tree, you know, with almonds on it. And the reason that spoke to Jeremiah was, in Israel, the almond tree is the first to bloom in spring. It has ripe fruit on it in March. Well, even in our country, very few trees have fruit on them in March. So when the other trees were just beginning to blossom, over here the blossom comes around about April, May, you get the blossom, and you don't get the fruit usually till September. You know, the apples are coming now, they'll be ripe in September. But all the other trees begin to bloom way after the almond has already produced its fruit. So the point is about the almond branch, that God showed him an almond branch, because the almond tree, and Jeremiah knew it, was ready and raring to go. It was ready. The fruit was ripe on it. It's a symbolic thing. God put this in symbolically, and he's saying to Jeremiah, I am ready for action, Jeremiah. I'm watching over my word to perform it, just like the almond branch. I'm ready to go. The King James Version even uses the word ready. It says, I am ready to perform my word. God is ready and raring to do it for us. And all God is asking is that we see it, that we use the creative power that he has given us. That's all he's asking. So here's my next revelation. We get what we can see. because that's what we have faith for. That will raise our faith levels. Many years ago, I'm sure Adrian and Brenda won't mind me mentioning it without going into great detail, that their daughter was extremely sick to the point of death, and the doctors didn't know what was wrong with her, and no one knew how to heal her. And Adrian said when he sat at her bedside, week in and week out, it was a long process, he had to picture his daughter up and walking. He had to picture her well, not in the coma that she was in. He had to see her well. We need to picture it. We need to see the thing that God wants to do in our life. We need to see ourselves as a success. We need to see ourselves having enough money for our retirement or whatever the situation is. We need to see ourselves getting better. If we can't see it, we can't picture it, we can't use our imagination for it, we will have great trouble finding the faith to believe for it. Several years ago now, maybe about 12 years ago, I was quite unwell. And I was in hospital and I needed treatment. I thank God for the doctors. I needed an operation. But I was extremely ill. And without that intervention, I would not be standing here today. And in the middle of it all, when we were getting horrendous reports and we were given twice the wrong report and all sorts of different things going on, I'm just sitting in my hospital bed in my own single room. You know when you're put in a single room, it's never good news. Otherwise, they just bung you in the ward. So I'm in the single room and I'm just looking at this big whiteboard in front of me, which has your name and everything on it, the date of your operation. And I was very, very fearful and really clinging to God. And in the middle of all of that, I saw something. And God gave me a vision. And it just went right in front of my eyes right on that whiteboard, it just appeared. And what I saw was a great big silver tray, the kind they use in the operating theatre to put all the instruments on. And this tray was really, really shiny and sparkling, except in the middle of it was a big blob. Okay, this red blob. And I knew, the only way I can describe it without going into horrible detail, I knew that that was my blob. I knew that that's what they'd taken out of me that was on that tray. And then all of a sudden, like that, boom, it was gone, it vanished. And the tray was left shiny, like silver, like something you'd present the Queen with. Just shiny, just sitting there with, all clean and everything. And then I heard a voice in my head. I believe it was the voice of God, and it was two words. And those two words were all clear. That was it. The whole thing probably took 20 seconds. And I said to God, oh God, I really need that. I need that so much. I need our results to be all clear, no further treatment required. So if I ever pray for you, and I say those words over you, as I've repeated over people so many times, they come from the heart of my soul, that I am believing with all my heart that God will do for you all clear, no further treatment required. And because I could see it, faith rose up on the inside of me to start to believe for it. And when I got discharged and I was at home and we finally got the results, and those results, in fact, you get signed a specialist nurse, and she phoned me up and she said, Sandra, these are her very words, you must have someone looking after you because your results are all clear. No further treatment required. Now, when we went into the hospital for that operation, the surgeon told Neil they expected my operation to be the most complicated of the day. So they were doing me first. And at the end, when he spoke to him, and I was still out for the count, he said to Neil, of the three operations we had today, your wife was the simplest and the most straightforward. Because God's hand was on it. Because we could see God loved us. We could see he was with us and he went before us and behind us and beside us and he was in us. He was in us. And he's in your situation, but you need to see it. And stop speaking the negatives out. Stop speaking that it will never change and it will never be any better. Begin to see the power of God working in your life. Seeing it in our hearts will help us to believe for it to be created. Matthew 12, verse 35 says this: the good man from his inner good treasure brings out good things. The evil man from his inner evil treasure brings out evil things. Now, I am not calling anyone evil today, but all I'm saying is on the inside of every single one of us, myself included, there are positive and negative thoughts. And only we can make the decision as to which ones we're going to believe and which ones we're going to go with. If we think on the negatives, all we will produce is the negatives. So don't focus on the negatives, because all that will grow is something evil and nasty, and it will perhaps destroy you and certainly rob you of your peace. All the nasties grow there. Focus on the positives instead. Begin to imagine them. Begin to create them in your mind. Picture them there. See them in your heart. When the negative thoughts are knocking on the door, don't let them in. Evict them. So here's my next revelation. What we let loose in our heart is what we are creating in our heart. If we just let those negative thoughts run riot all day and run rampant without correcting them, they're like a willful child that's not corrected. You know, it's not good news. We get to choose what we let to grow in our lives. So what are we letting grow in us? What are you letting grow? Even this morning, even this week, what did the enemy whisper in your head that you were useless and couldn't do? Don't let it grow there. Yesterday, I could have let negative thoughts grow there of, oh, this is a huge task and we'll never finish it. And I just decided, no, I'm not having those negative thoughts. Went out, did the job done. In just over an hour, all done, plus an extra three streets because we got finished so early. Okay, we decided just to keep going because it was such a good day. And get it all done. You know, if you don't want something to grow in your life, you need to put it out of your life. Put it out of your mind. Don't listen to the lies or you'll start to believe them. You know, bad news travels fast, and if we listen to it long enough, we'll believe it. I was just saying, I can't remember who I said it to, saying it to someone today about listening to the news. When our oldest daughter was only five, it was bird flu. They were talking bird flu and endemics, pandemics, you name it, they were talking about it. I think one swan died in Kirkcaldy and that was about it. But they were talking about it all the time. And our five-year-old turned around at tea time and said, "Mummy, are we all going to die?" That was the end of watching news at tea time. We waited till she was in bed. "No, sweetheart, we're not going to die. The man's talking a lot of rubbish." Okay? I know that they have to warn people, but they're so revel in the negatives on the news. I mean, it sells newspapers, you know. So look for the good treasure in your heart and see the good thing that God wants to create. So here's my next scripture, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So what are we thinking in our heart? Because that's what our future looks like. If you mull it over and mull it over, and bad news travels faster than good news. And if you keep mulling over the bad stuff, then that's what our future is going to look like. We must spend time seeing a future that is filled with God's blessings. We're singing today about the blessings of God. Good choice, Neil. Okay, we're singing about it. And we need to see it. If we can see it on the inside, God can create it on the outside. Okay, if we can see it, God can create it. Whatever the need is. If you want healing, then you need to begin to see the healing. Don't see yourself sick, but see yourself well. See yourself out of bed. See yourself walking and running and doing whatever you couldn't do before. If you couldn't straighten your arms, see yourself straightening your arms. If you couldn't raise it up, see yourself raising it up, whatever it is. Once we begin to see it, our body starts to respond. It won't happen without us seeing it first. I'm sure you've all heard of the scientific experiments where they have these plants. One set of plants gets talked to nicely, and the other set of plants, they either leave them and don't talk at all, or they speak negatively to them. And they curse them and say all sorts of evil, nasty things. And those plants shrivel and die. And the other ones that get spoken well to, they thrive. You know, I reckon if plants can do it, you know, might work for us too. So we need to be positive. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. That includes healing. But we have to pay, we have to see the price that he paid for that healing. If we can't see what Jesus did on the cross, and we can't see those wounds on his back and the scars on his head from the crown of thorns and the nail marks on his hands and his feet, if we can't see that, and we just think that that wasn't enough, Sandra. That might be enough for someone else's healing, but it's not enough for me. If we can't see that, then we will struggle to have faith to believe that we are going to be healed. And Jesus will have died for nothing. Folks, the cross was not nothing. The cross was huge. The cross changed the history of mankind. It changed the future of mankind forever. I've prayed for lots of people over the years, many, many people. And there's been one or two people that I've prayed for, and they didn't make it through. They passed away, and that was sad. But then I found out later, even though there's a whole, not just me, there's a whole group of us praying, and a whole group of us fasting and praying, and doing all sorts of things. But in these cases, we found out later on that the person was actually planning their funeral. So while we were planning their healing, they just wanted a good funeral. So they were planning that. So here's a revelation that's not rocket science, okay? You'll never see a healing if you're planning a good funeral. Don't plan your funeral. Once you're up in heaven, you won't care whether you had a good funeral or not. Just let the family have the arguments after you've gone, you know? You just enjoy life. Plan life. Plan something good. Plan to live. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. As long as the desire of your heart lines up with the word of God, then God wants to bless you with it, you know? I mean, Anne might want to run off with Pierce Brosnan today, but I don't think that's going to happen, Anne, okay? But, you know, but God's got other desires for your heart, okay? So you'll survive. God wants to give us the desires because he desires to give us our desires. He wants to do that. So have you checked what's in your heart lately? Is it filled with good desires? Is it filled with things that God wants to grow? Or are there a few wee weeds in there that we need to pluck out? Weeds like complaining, being full of complaining about what we can't see. I can't see this yet, Sandra, and I can't see that yet. Well, perhaps that is why we don't have it yet. Because we're busy complaining instead of seeing it. We're just stating what we can't see. Perhaps we need to stop complaining and start conceiving something good. Conceiving something good is the only way to give birth to something good. We'll never know what we're capable of conceiving if all we do is complain about what we either have or don't have. I remember hearing Joyce Meyer saying this once, probably to a bunch of women. She said, you need to stop complaining about your husband because someone else... Be quiet in the peanut gallery. Just stop complaining about your husband because someone else will come along and take him off your hands. You know? And that is true. You know, what we see as a problem, someone else will go, I'll take that on. I'll give it a go. You know? So we're just complaining about things. We need to conceive something good. Our attitude is a reflection of what we see when we look at our life. Our attitude will either lead to victory or it will lead to defeat. So how is your attitude about your life, about your neighbors or your family members? I want us to note this. Often we think that we're waiting on God. You know, when's God going to do this? I'm just waiting on God. But perhaps he's waiting on us. Waiting on us to stop complaining. Waiting on us to see what it is that he's wanting to do in our lives. He's waiting on us starting to create something on the inside that he can do for us on the outside. He's waiting on us seeing it, then conceiving it, and then we'll see his will for our lives. See, if we can't see it, then we won't conceive it. And if we can't conceive it, God can't create it. And we will never give birth to it. A baby is conceived before it's created. These two single cells come together, so then you've conceived at that point, but then the whole creation process explodes, and you go from these two cells to 4 to 8 to 16. It just absolutely blossoms out there. And in a matter of weeks, You've got this amazing creation with a brain and a spinal column and ribs and hands and feet and everything in just a matter of weeks. And only then, once it's created, can you give birth to it. So stop wishing and vainly hoping, not hoping in God, but just, well, I hope that happens, and maybe it won't, it might not. So vainly hoping, and start seeing the promises of God. See them come to pass in your life. Take the word of God, meditate on it. It's okay to use that word just because other religions have stolen it. Meditating on the word of God is okay. It doesn't mean you do anything airy-fairy. Meditate just means think about it, think about it, think about it, think about it. Read it, stick it on the fridge, stick it on the biscuit tin. Think about it and read it. Meditate on his promises until you see them growing in you. Sometimes we need to look back a year or 2 years and see how far we've come, and that encourages us to keep going. One final scripture, Matthew 12 and verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Folks, there's an abundance in our heart, and it's either an abundance of good or not so good. We need to do a spiritual heart check on a regular basis to see what it is we're mumping and moaning about. What's in our heart will eventually come out of our mouth, and it may not be a good thing. But seeing the good things we desire will help us to speak out those good things. You might say, well, I don't have enough money for that at the moment, but one day I'm going to have enough money for that. That I'm going to keep working and keep saving and keep giving to God, and he'll give the increase. If we're having a hard time seeing it in our heart, that could be why we're having a hard time seeing it in our life, because we need to believe for it. Seeing the good things we desire will help us to speak out those good things. You know, earlier, at the very beginning of this talk, I asked the question, what do we see when we look at God? Do we see a loving father or someone with a big stick ready to just continually whip us into shape? How we see God is crucial. If we can't see love when we look at the God that crucified his son for us and his blood poured down, so there would have been a pool of blood under his cross, and he was stripped, just in a humiliating way, hung on that cross. If we can't see love, we will never see that God loves us. And we won't be able to see the good things he has for us. We will be expecting something inferior to what God has for us. When we look at God, we need to see his love, his goodness, his mercy, and his power. See how rich he is. Our God is rich in blessings. He wants to pour out those blessings on us. When we ask God for something, we must see him wanting to perform it. He is the almond branch. He is in bloom. He does have the fruit. It's ready and raring to go to pour out on us. He said, I've got it ready, Sandra. The branch is ready. The blossom's done and gone, and the fruit is ripe, and I'm ready before any need you might have to give that to you. He is ready. When we ask God for something, we must see him wanting to perform it. If the experiences in our life have created a wrong image of God, then we need to change it. We see a good future. See a God who loves you. So I'm going to finish with a question. What do you see? Yes, the worship team come up and join me.